Morning, everybody.
Morning.
I'm not stopping. And before I before I hand back to Derek, just a notice really and a request. During the week, after last Friday's remembrance service on the Common, met a couple who where the husband has dementia. And they were telling me that they have to travel either to Aylesbury or to Marlow for any kind of support group. And the reason is that there's nothing locally for them. They've been in touch with Village Care, who unfortunately weren't able to help. So it occurred to me that we've got some spare slots in the parish, in the sanctuary, in the parish rooms, a couple of mornings, a couple of afternoons. And I thought, well, we could offer them that slot, be an hour and a half, 2 hours max. We could just make some tea and some coffee and allow them to run their support group. It would be just where people get together. They're able to talk to each other about all their own problems and, you know, just help each other. We don't need anybody with any expertise, just someone who's got a nice smile and is prepared to say hello and listen, and would you like tea or coffee? So we haven't got a date set yet because we need to find out which kind of suits them best and which suits us best. But what I wanted was if anybody would be prepared to volunteer to help go onto a rota to do tea or coffee on that particular morning or afternoon, if they would just email me and we'll set something up. Great opportunity for us to do something for the village. This is mission in action. I leave it with you. Appreciate your help. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to be back with you for a short time, as it were, on there. Today is Christ the King, sometimes known as Stir Up Sunday. So I shall be saying a few words about that when it comes to my sermon. But let's start with our first hymn this morning. Rejoice, the Lord is King, 482.
Thank you.
So we take up our order of service sheets at page 1. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so may grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
So let's sit on here for our prayers. And we say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Jesus says, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from sin and turn to Christ our King, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. And so we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And so our collect for today, which is Christ the King. Eternal Father, whose Son Jesus Christ ascended to the throne of heaven, that he might rule over all things as Lord and King, keep the Church in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace, and bring the whole created order to worship at his feet, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. It's time now for our readings.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 23, beginning to read at verse 1. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David the righteous branch, the king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Saviour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 11. You are being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Ruth and Roger. So it's time now for our next hymn, 168. Here is Love Vast as the Ocean, 168. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke chapter 23. Glory to you, O Lord. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right hand, one on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering sour wine and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. And there was an inscription over him, This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who was hanging there kept deriding him, saying, Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, truly I tell you today, you'll be with me in paradise. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And so may my words, in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. My wife and I were just talking yesterday, and we were just deciding to work out where November had gone to. In fact, where did October go to is another question as well. I guess as you get older, I'm not sure whether it's age or not, but these things flash past. So here we are, the last Sunday of the church's calendar, because next week we're into Advent. And the special theme today is a celebration of Jesus as King, Christ the King. But if you were an older person, far older than me, you would know it as Stir Up Sunday. And that's what it was traditionally called. And it reminds all the cooks to get in the house to get on and stir up the Christmas pudding too. I guess that's a tradition that's long gone. And I guess most of us now go down to Waitrose, M&S, Tesco, wherever it is, to get our Christmas puddings. Somebody, do they do their own pudding still? Way! You're part of a dying generation, okay. But that's lovely to hear that on there. The words of the Old Testament, in the Old Testament prayer book, 1662, it's one of the main collects for today. It says this, stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that they, bringing forth the fruit of good works, may by you be richly rewarded through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. But to use modern-day language, in 1926, Stir Up Sunday was rebranded. The Pope at that time decided, together with Roman Catholics, Anglicans, Lutherans, that it would now be known as the Feast of Christ the King. But it's still there with some people as Stir Up Sunday. So today is a day meant to encourage ourselves, remind ourselves that Christ is our King. It's the day when we draw close to Advent, and that season which we prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ at Christmas. And as we think of King Jesus coming at Christmas, so we welcome him into our own hearts. But what's the thing of kingship? What does it all mean? As you saw from that reading of the Gospel, it meant many things to many people. It was derided, this King, this Messiah, the two thieves. You know, one derided, one didn't. The soldiers were deriding the Jewish priests, the Jewish, if you like, clergy of the time. They were doing the same thing on here. So what is kingship? Well, of course, we've just got a new king, haven't we, after a queen. So what's it mean? What's kingship mean these days? Well, 200 years ago, I guess it was a lot easier because kings were great and celebrated figures. They were held in high honour and they were seen having God's seal upon them. Kings had a divine right. They were chosen by God to be kings. And they were accountable to no one except God. And of course, King David in the Old Testament is a great example of someone called by God. And of course, was a great king. But of course, since we've had parliamentary democracy, we tend to regard kings with a certain ambivalence, not sure what their role is, other than open parliament and putting their signature to acts of parliament, and generally support good causes. Quite a contrast to the days when kings were universally seen as figures of power who could literally decide who lived or died. I do feel sorry for Charles at this time for taking on this role, following his mother, who very successful period of monarchy, and coming into a place where it's not unusual for the newspapers to be picking spots off you for what you've done, what you've said, or whatever. And I do think he needs our prayers, because he's in a position that I certainly would not wish to be in on here. So 2,000 years or so ago, Pilate must have laughed when Jesus was referred to as a king. For Pilate, Jesus could not be a king because he did not fit the mould of a king. Kings were powerful. They demanded respect. They probably had an army behind them. And generally, they got respect. And when Pilate put King of the Jews over Jesus, it was not in recognition of the kingship of Jesus. It was rather a mockery. Kings did not belong on crosses. Don't know if you saw, but a couple of years ago, I remember a series called Great Britons, when the viewers had to decide who was the greatest Briton. And of course, the usual suspects appeared. And we had Churchill, Princess Diana, Nelson, John Lennon. All of them, incidentally, flawed characters like the rest of us. You realise, though, that they all wielded power and influence, but in very, very different ways. Some ruled by external might. Others sought with heart to win the hearts. Others combined the two types of power. And there are two types of power. Authoritarian, which rules by external force and internal conquest. And these are sometimes described as right and left-handed power. Right-handed power is to do with insisting on rules and obedience. It has its place in the world. A state without right-handed power is a state without a police force and without a judiciary or rules to run the state by. Right-handed power makes very practical demands. But unless it's exercised with compassion and moral framework, it can wreak havoc. If we look back in time, the power of Caesar and Pilate, of Hitler and Mussolini, of the tyrants and dictators of our modern age, show what happens when right-handed power is set off the leash of morality. It's a kind of power that's deeply flawed. At worst, as we can well see, it destroys. At its best, it can limit injustice and abuse. What it can never do is redeem and recreate. What we need to combat it with is left-handed power. So left-handed power respects and trusts and nurtures the other person. It encourages or discourages without demanding. It's strong enough to forgive and restore broken relationships. It's not afraid to be humble. It has the inner strength to make sacrifices. It seems to me this is the power of God, which is shown supremely on the cross. And it's a power that we as Christians exercise. We exercise by persuasion, not by the power of destruction. But we need to remind ourselves that the two kinds of power are at work in our lives as much as in the world leaders. We all need to learn to use rules and to be obedient as part of an ordered society. But we also need to rely on a deeper power of love for the ultimate victory. Reminded that it's the sort of power wielded by a mother crossing a busy street with a four-year-old. You must hold my hand and come with me. This is a dangerous road. I'm not having you sitting down in the middle of it. No, you can't have a box of matches to play with, and I don't care if Alfie's mother lets him play with matches. You're not going to, and that's the end of the argument. But let us try that kind of power 10 or 12 years later with that same child, and she's in deep trouble. At that point, there has to be a turnaround, a totally different power game, one in which, paradoxically, the power wielder has to be the one who's willing to be defeated. And those of you who've had teenagers will know exactly what it's like, which is why Martin Luther referred to the cross as the left-handed power of God. And then we go from Martin Luther to Martin Luther King, who used to say to his tormentors, "Our capacity to endure suffering will outlast your capacity to inflict it." Let me do that one again. "Our capacity to endure suffering will outlast your capacity to inflict it." So that brings us back again to the cross and the knowledge that ultimately suffering defeats violence and love defeats hate. And because God is prepared to suffer on the cross at the end of time, both for you and for me, there's no contest. The powers of evil throw them all at him. Jesus simply soaks them up and remains king of love, in whom is the victory. He doesn't ever back off from that power that he has to love. And so today we celebrate the King of all power, king who reigns, the king whose hands left and right are not clenched, but open and pierced, the king who reigns from the cross. So let us pray that the power brokers of our world use their power well and wisely. But ultimately, thank God, it's not in them that we put our trust, but in the king who reigns from the cross. His power will bring us all safe home at last, and of that we can be certain. So we're going to move into Advent. Let's remind ourselves that the centre of our world is a baby in a makeshift cot in a cradle, before whom kings, symbols of the world's right-handed power, bend the knee. Pardon me. So he is the Messiah who turns all our cherished right-handed ideas upside down, says that the poor and needy at the top of the pile, not at the bottom of it. He's the king who would call an army of angels to his aid, but refuses to help the Peter's sword-bearing right arm in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's the God who will not slay his enemies with a strong right arm, but who says instead, if there's any killing to be done, it will be done to me, not by me. And he is the one who teaches about his father. But in left-handed stories, they're always more elusive to get a hold of than right-handed thought can manage. Christ is indeed the king. And so today, let's stir one another up. Remind ourselves that Jesus should be the king of every part of our lives, our manners, our behaviour towards other people, and our decisions about the important things of life. Let's enlist in his army and use his weapons of love and peace. And so finally say as we and pray, as he taught us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
And so it's time now for our prayers.
Let us pray. Christ is the image of the invisible God. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. We take a moment to reflect on your everlasting presence, from time immemorial through to time eternal. You hold our lives close to you, and all that we are exists under your mighty power. We thank you that you sent your Son in your image to bring redemption and reconciliation for us all. And we bow our heads now in humble acknowledgement of your unending grace. Help us to show outwardly our joy that you are King, to worship you in all aspects of our lives, and to serve you in the time we are allotted for our ministry here on earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. The church calendar designates this final Sunday of the church's year as Christ the King, the glorious culmination of your plan, which will begin again as we enter the time of Advent next week. As we stand at the brink of the Nativity story once again, help us to look beyond the festivities of the season and prepare us for the coming of the King in the image of a baby. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray our prayers today with millions of Christians throughout the world. When all seems dark, we look to your strength to believe that we can change lives by your message. We pray for the leaders who can make a difference by their decisions. We ask for your blessing on those who seek to save our world from the ravages of war and the impact that man's greed has had on our environment. Give courage to those facing conflict or natural disaster. Reassure those fearful of their future in these times of economic austerity. And give us a generous spirit when we are presented with any opportunity to help. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask for your blessing on our own community, our homes, places of work, schools, and church. We pray that in this time of interregnum, you will guide and strengthen our ministry team and those who hold positions of responsibility within our fellowship, and we ask that you are with all of us as we go about our daily witness. Gracious God, you are with us always. We thank you for guiding us by your Spirit through our life together as a church. We pray that we may hear your voice at this time. Grant us patience, grant us vision, and grant us courage as we seek a new priest for our two churches. And by your grace, lead us to be a more Christ-like church, a church that is contemplative, compassionate, and courageous. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring before you those who are in pain or any form of distress. There are many in our fellowship here who are known to be facing dark times, but there will be many too who suffer alone. Be with them all, Lord, and give us insight to offer comfort where we can. From our notice sheet, we name John Watts and his family, Amanda and her family, and Caden and his family. And in a short moment of silence, anyone else who is on our heart this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We turn our prayers to those who have passed through this earthly life in recent days, or whose anniversary falls at this time. We thank you for their lives among us. We who are left grieve their loss, but know that we can take courage from the promise of everlasting life with them in your kingdom. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Deborah. So it's now time for our creed, so please stand. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sins, he was sent unto Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life world to come. So it's time now for our peace. To crown all things there must be love, to bind all together and complete the whole. Let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. So may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Do share the peace with one another. So it's time now for our next hymn, that lovely, lovely hymn by Stuart Townend, The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want, 1030. So this morning I'm going to use Eucharist at prayer 5 on page 15. So prayer 5 on page 15. The Lord be with you.
And also
lift up your hearts.
We give thanks to the Lord.
Let give thanks to the Lord our God. Do sit on here for our prayers. It is always right to give you thanks, God our Creator, loving and faithful, holy and strong. You made us and the whole universe and filled your world with life. You sent your Son to live among us, Jesus our Saviour, Mary's child. He suffered on the cross. He died to save us from our sins. He rose in glory from the dead. You send your Spirit to bring new life to the world and clothe us with power from on high. And so we join the angels to celebrate and sing. And we say together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Father, on the night before he died, Jesus shared a meal with his friends. He took bread and thanked you. He broke it and gave them, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this to remember me. After the meal, Jesus took the cup of wine. He thanked you and gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, the new promise of God's unfailing love. Do this to remember me. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So, Father, as we drink this bread and this wine, remember his death and resurrection. Send your Holy Spirit that we who share these gifts may be fed by Christ's body and his blood. Pour your Spirit on us that we may love one another, work for the healing of the earth, and share the good news of Jesus as we wait for his coming in glory. For honour and praise belong to you, Father, with Jesus your Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. And so we say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of your Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith and with thanksgiving. Amen. And so at the top of page 18, we say together, Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I think we got there. So our final hymn this morning, that lovely, lovely hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, 466. Gifts for use in your service. Amen. Thank you. Let's just bow our heads for the blessing. Christ our King, make you faithful and strong to do his will, that you may reign with him in glory. And so may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, with you and your families, those whom you love and those whom you prayed for, this day and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.